Numbers 10 through 11, 23. The Lord spoke further to Moses, saying, Make yourself two trumpets of silver. You shall make them of hammered work, and you shall use them for summoning the congregation and breaking camp. Now, when both are blown, all the congregation shall meet you at the entrance of the tent of meeting. But if only one is blown, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall meet you. And when you blow an alarm, the camps that are pitched on the east side shall set out. Then, when you sound an alarm the second time, the camps that are pitched on the south side shall set out. An alarm is to be sounded for them to break camp. When covening the assembly, however, you shall blow trumpets without sounding an alarm. The sons of Aaron, moreover, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and this shall be a permanent statute for you throughout your generations. And when you go to war in your land against the enemy who attacks you, then you shall sound an alarm with trumpets, so that you will be thought of by the Lord your God, and be saved from your enemies. Also, on the day of your joy, and at your appointed feasts, and on the first days of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be as a reminder of you before your God. I am the Lord your God. Now, in the second year, in the second month, on the 20th of the month, the cloud was lifted from above the tabernacle of the testimony, and the sons of Israel set out on their journeys from the wilderness of Sinai. Then the cloud settled in the wilderness of Paran. So they moved on for the first time in accordance with the command of the Lord through Moses. The flag of the camp of the sons of Judah, by their armies, set out first, with Nashan, the son of Amminadab, over its army, and Nethanel, the son of Zuar, over the tribal army of the sons of Issachar, and Eliab, the son of Helon, over the tribal army of the sons of Zebulun. Then the tabernacle was taken down, and the sons of Gershon and the sons of Merari, who were carrying the tabernacle, set out. Next, the flag of the camp of Reuben, by their armies, set out with Eleazar, the son of Shedeur, over its army, and Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai, over the tribal army of the sons of Simeon, and Eliasaph, the son of Deuel, was over the tribal army of the sons of Gad. Then the Kohathites set out, carrying the holy objects, and the tabernacle was set up before their arrival. Next, the flag of the camp of the sons of Ephraim by their armies set out, with Elishama, the son of Ammihud, over its army, and Gamaliel, the son of Pedazur, over the tribal army of the sons of Manasseh, and Abadan, the son of Gideoni, over the tribal army of the sons of Benjamin. Then the flag of the camp of the sons of Dan, by their armies, which formed the rear guard for all the camps, set out with Ahiezer, the son of Amishaddai, over its army, and Pagiel, the son of Okran, over the tribal army of the sons of Asher, and Ahira, the son of Enan, over the tribal army of the sons of Naphtali. This was the order of marching for the sons of Israel by their armies as they set out. Then Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, We are setting out to the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will do you good, for the Lord has promised good concerning Israel. But he said to him, I will not come, but rather will go to my own land and relatives. Then he said, Please do not leave us, since you know where we should camp in the wilderness, and you will be as eyes for us. So it will be, if you go with us, that whatever good the Lord does for us, we will do for you. So they moved on from the mountain of the Lord 3 days' journey, with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord going in front of them for 3 days, to seek out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was over them by day when they set out from the camp. Then it came about, when the ark set out, that Moses said, Rise up, Lord, and may your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee from your presence. And when it came to rest, he said, Return, Lord, to the myriad thousands of Israel. Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord heard them, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them, and consumed some at the outskirts of the camp. The people then cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died out. So that place was named Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. Now the rabble who were among them had greedy cravings, and the sons of Israel also wept again, and said, Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we used to eat for free in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our appetite is gone. There is nothing at all to look at except this manna. Now the manna was like coriander seed, and its appearance like that of delium. The people would roam about and gather it and grind it between two millstones, or pound it in the mortar, and boil it in the pot, and make loaves with it, and its taste was like the taste of cake baked with oil. When the dew came down on the camp at night, the manna would come down with it. Now Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, each one at the entrance of his tent. And the anger of the Lord became very hot, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, Why have you been so hard on your servant, and why have I not found favor in your sight, that you have put the burden of all these people on me? Was it I who conceived all these people, or did I give birth to them, that you should say to me, Carry them in your arms as a nurse carries a nursing infant, to the land which you swore to their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they weep before me, saying, Give us meat, so that we may eat. I am not able to carry all this people by myself, because it is too burdensome for me. So if you are going to deal with me this way, please kill me now, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my misery. The Lord therefore said to Moses, Gather for me 70 men from the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and their officers, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and have them take their stand there with you. Then I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take away some of the spirit who is upon you, and put him upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you will not bear it by yourself. And you shall say to the people, Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Oh, that someone would give us meat to eat, for we were well off in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nose and makes you nauseated, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why did we ever leave Egypt? But Moses said, The people, among whom I'm included, are 600,000 on foot. Yet you have said, I will give them meat, so that they may eat for a whole month. Are flocks and herds to be slaughtered for them, so that it will be sufficient for them? Or are all the fish of the sea to be caught for them, so that it will be sufficient for them? Then the Lord said to Moses, Is the Lord's power too little? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not. Luke 22. Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching, and the chief priests and the scribes were trying to find a way to put him to death, since they were afraid of the people. And Satan entered Judas, the one called Iscariot, who belonged to the number of the 12. And he left and discussed with the chief priests and officers how he was to betray him to them. And they were delighted, and agreed to give him money. And so he consented, and began looking for a good opportunity to betray him to them away from the crowd. Now the first day of the unleavened bread came, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And so Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, so that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" And he said to them, "When you have entered the city, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and you shall say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large, furnished upstairs room. Prepare it there." And they left and found everything just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And when he had taken up a cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this, and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is being given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with mine on the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to debate among themselves which one of them it was who was going to do this. And a dispute also developed among them as to which one of them was regarded as being the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles domineer over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it is not this way for you. Rather, the one who is greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like a servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table, or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. You are the ones who have stood by me in my trials, and just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to sift you men like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith will not fail, and you, when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." But he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today, until you have denied 3 times that you know me." And he said to them, "When I sent you out without money belt and bag and sandals, you did not lack anything, did you?" They said, "No, nothing." And he said to them, "But now whoever has a money belt is to take it along, likewise also a bag, and whoever has no sword is to sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me, 'And he was counted with wrongdoers,' for that which refers to me has its fulfillment." They said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And he said to them, It is enough. And he came out and went, as was his habit, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. Now, when he arrived at the place, he said to them, Pray that you do not come into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. When he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray, that you do not come into temptation. While he was still speaking, behold, a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading the way for them. And he approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When those who were around him saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus responded and said, Stop, no more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. And Jesus said to the priests, and officers of the temple, and elders who had come against him, Have you come out with swords and clubs as you would against a man inciting a revolt? While I was with you daily in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this hour and the power of darkness are yours. Now they arrested him and led him away, and brought him to the house of the high priest. But Peter was following at a distance. After they kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter was sitting among them. And a slave woman, seeing him as he sat in the firelight and staring at him, said, This man was with him as well. But he denied it, saying, I do not know him, woman. And a little later, another person saw him and said, You are one of them too. But Peter said, Man, I am not. And after about an hour had passed, some other man began to insist, saying, Certainly this man was also with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, Man, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. And then the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, Before a rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. The men who were holding Jesus in custody began mocking him and beating him. And they blindfolded him and repeatedly asked him, saying, Prophesy, who is the one who hit you? And they were saying many other things against him, blaspheming. When it was day, the council of elders of the people assembled, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away to their council chamber, saying, If you are the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask a question, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. And they all said, So you are the Son of God? And he said to them, You say correctly that I am. And then they said, What further need do we have of testimony? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. 1 Corinthians 14:20 through 40. Brothers and sisters, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. In the law it is written, by men of strange tongues, and by the lips of strangers, I will speak to this people, and even so they will not listen to me, says the Lord. So then, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophecy is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church gathers together, and all the people speak in tongues, and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are insane? But if all prophecy, and an unbeliever or an outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. What is the outcome then, brothers and sisters? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. All things are to be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, it must be by two or at most three, and each one in turn is to interpret. But if there is no interpreter, he is to keep silent in church, and have him speak to himself and to God. Have two or three prophets speak, and have others pass judgment. But if a revelation is made to another who is seated, then the first one is to keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be exhorted. And the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, the women are to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but are to subject themselves, just as the law also says. If they desire to learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is improper for a woman to speak in church. Or was it from you that the word of God first went out? Or has it come to you only? If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandment. But if anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues. But all things must be done properly in an orderly way. Proverbs 23:26-35. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. For a prostitute is a deep pit, and a strange woman is a narrow well. Certainly she lurks as a robber, and increases the treacherous among mankind. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has red eyes? Those who linger long over wine. Those who go to taste mixed wine. Do not look at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake, and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your mind will say perverse things, and you will be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea, or like one who lies down on the top of a mast. They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When will I awake? I will seek another drink. Psalm 52. Why do you boast in evil, you mighty man? The faithfulness of God endures all day long. Your tongue devises destruction. Like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit. You love evil more than good, lies more than speaking what is right. You love all words that devour, you deceitful tongue. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch you up and tear you away from your tent, and uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see and fear, and they will laugh at him, saying, Behold, the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and was strong in his evil desire. But as for me, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the faithfulness of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever, because you have done it, and I will wait on your name, for it is good in the presence of your godly ones.